Hello all, welcome to Up the Poshcast, the podcast made by the fans for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Up the Poshcast. Tonight, we are going to be talking about the best ever Peterborough United team of the Darragh McAntony era. Darragh has been at Posh since 2006, so 19 years now. We've had highs, we've had lows, we've had an indifferent season. What we have had is a hell of a lot of talent in almost every position. We're going to run through what we think are our best teams. Now, for the people on tonight, which is Ashley, Lods, Harry and myself, John, Darragh is almost all we've known with Peterborough. He kind of came in when we all started supporting Posh and he's been there ever since. So we know all these players like the back of our hands, really. There's been some iconic squads, like I say. We're looking forward to getting stuck in tonight. We're going to start with the goalkeepers and who wants to select their goalkeeper first.
Yeah, I am so going first on this, probably with the hottest of hot takes. And that's a man that got exiled from the team when we were in the Championship just after getting promoted after COVID. And that is Christy Pym. Now, Christy Pym is somebody that basically got like 30 clean sheets across two seasons. He single-handedly won us. I think I totted it up. It was less than a goal a game conceded in 40 appearances in the season that we went up. He had 35 clean sheets across two seasons, like I mentioned. 10 games in that season that we got promoted, we only won by one goal. Now, if you don't have a solid goalkeeper, as we found out recently, you don't get promoted. Christy Pym is one of the strong reasons that we got promoted and is probably one of the best goalkeepers that I think that we've had in the DMACC era for sure.
Yeah, as I was scanning the horizon for goalkeepers to put in this 11, I couldn't see Christy Pym. He might have been below my eye line. I had the League One playoff winning, championship retaining goalkeeper, Paul Jones, the most maligned and underrated of all the keepers I think we have had in my entire time supporting Posh. Solid, consistent, was in that team that went up displacing Lewis the second half of that season. He also did not have the clangers in him that Joe Lewis did. And I think it's important. He was obviously competing with Joe Lewis to mention him at this stage. He's an all-round better keeper, regardless of what they went on to do with the rest of their careers. And only two goalkeepers ever kept us in the championships. We've only stayed up twice. He is one of them. The only one of the DMACC era. Paul Jones, no question for me.
Yeah, I'd like to nominate Nicholas Bilakapic because we are talking about the worst goalkeepers of the Darragh McAntony era. Is that right? Oh, we're not. The best, is it, lads? Oh, right. Well, in that case, I'm going with Joe Lewis, quite clearly. I mean, I'd rather have Joe Bursic or Stephen Bender than the two you named. Lewis, look, he had his flaws. He had some limitations. He made some errors. But in terms of shot stopping, he was clearly the best. He's the most successful goalkeeper that we've ever had at the club. I just don't see any argument for it not to be Joe Lewis. I don't know where Pym and bloody Paul Jones are coming from. It's Joe Lewis.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, John. Joe Lewis is my choice as well. I remember watching him growing up in the Terrace and it was very exciting, I thought. Mark Tyler was a legend at the club and Joe Lewis had come in. We spent quite a bit of money on him and he managed to displace him. But it was quite exciting to see someone of that stature in goal. He was very tall, very gangly, making such good saves. Like you've mentioned there, his shot stopping. I don't think I've seen a better goalkeeper at London Road at shot stopping since. And also the game time he was getting for England under 21s as well. I remember it was him and Scott Loach, wasn't it, that were fighting for that young English goalkeeper coming through the ranks. And I think Joe Lewis actually made it into some of the England senior squads, didn't he? I don't think he ever played. But it was just really exciting to see. It was something that was very new to us at Posh. We obviously haven't had many players playing for us and in the England setup at the same time since either. So yeah, I'm with you on that, John. Joe Lewis is my keeper as well.
Well done, lads. That means Joe Lewis is in the team as goalkeeper. I'm glad we have seen sense in that position. Now to the right backs. Any names?
I'm going to go again with a captain. Now, this was at the time Peterborough United's youngest ever captain. He played in all of the games in a promotion season. He had one yellow card and I think it was 16 clean sheets. That man is Russell Martin. Now, he wasn't here for very long. I think it was only two seasons, maybe even one and a half. But he was an influential character. Right back was, look, we've struggled with right backs, haven't we? There's probably only a few that you could name that would say, yeah, they've been really good. But Russell Martin, he was Mr. Consistent for me. And you just have to look to go see what he did at Norwich to see all of the other things that he's done in his career and where he is now to say that ultimately he was a fantastic footballer. And realistically now he is going to be a fantastic manager in the game. So for me, it has to be Russell Martin. He's just got such great ball knowledge.
You know what? I really love Russell Martin. My favourite season at Posh was the 2008-2009 season. And as you've just said there, Ashley, he was captain for that season. But there was something special about him. It was his intelligence. You could tell at the time that he was just a bit smarter than all the rest of the players. Like his ability to read the game. And he also, I don't know what he if he was studying alongside football, but he was also helping out behind the scenes a lot as well, I noticed. He served me a couple of times in the ticket office. I remember that. The right back I'm going for, though, is Mark Little. I think longevity, I think he's probably the one that's played the most games at right back for Posh. And I think he also had a very good balance of both attack and defence. I remember him bombing down that right-hand side when we used to be such a creative attacking, fast transitional team. He was bombing down there. He was getting back. He was helping defend. I think if you look at where he went afterwards as well, I think he had a successful period in the Championship with Bristol City from memory. Mark Little will be my right back choice.
Do you know who I'm going for here, lads? Peter Kiyoso. We all talk about Kiyoso. We were top of the league when Kiyoso was in the team. We would have won. I'm still utterly convinced we win the league that season. I liked Mark Little. I still think he was a bit of a donkey, if I'm being totally honest. I mean, the playoff semi against MK Dons away kind of summed Mark Little up. He was very quick. He was very athletic, but he could trip over his own legs. And Kiyoso, I think, had all that athleticism, but he had it with a little bit more quality and technical ability in the final third. I know it was a short-lived thing with Kiyoso, but I think if we're judging it on player ability, I think I'd have Kiyoso over Little, I'm afraid.
I don't have a fourth right back to introduce. I've listened to you all. I think I've got the swing vote here on this. All three are really good. And I think all three were Championship level players. But having listened to you, I'm going with Mark Little. And despite what you said about him, John, fundamentally, he was another one who was part of that squad who kept us in the Championship. He clearly had something about him. And in that playoff semi-final, he might have tripped over his own feet, but it still won as a penalty.
Yeah, I can live with Little being in the team. I was a bit harsh in him calling him a bit of a donkey. He was a very good right back for Peterborough United. So if you are listening, Mark, I didn't mean it. I think you're very good. On to the centre-backs. I'm assuming we're not going to include any from last season. So Oscar Vallin and Manny Fernandez might not be in. But who have we got here?
Look, let's just get this cleared up. Ronnie Edwards makes all our team, right? Thumbs up if he makes your team. Yeah, good. So I wasn't a fan of Ronnie at first. I thought we were maybe putting too much pressure on him. I know Dara put a 20 million price tag on him after his first season, which I thought was probably a bit too high at the time. I thought he was very weak. I thought he was really, really bad aerially. But you could see his class on the ball. I'm not going to take that away from his early days at all. But there was a stage, and I always pick out the Sheffield Wednesday semi-final at London Road for this, where he calls it he learnt his body and he learnt how to use his body well. He still isn't the tallest. He still isn't the biggest, but he does use his body well, doesn't he? He can body check people, and he's got a little bit of pace to him now as well. I honestly think that we won't see a better centre-back at Posh ever again. And he was so young as well at the time. So, yeah, Ronnie Edwards gets in all of our teams. Definitely one of the centre-backs.
Do you know what? There's a common theme with my picks. And I think that that probably comes after having pretty much a disastrous two seasons in terms of having a captain. And somebody that I would like to put forwards is Mark Beavers. Now, this is another promotion-winning centre-back, or promotion-winning captain, I should say. And look, not the most glamorous of players, but you need leaders in the dressing room. We've shown that over the last two seasons, that without a leader, things start to fall apart at Peterborough United. And I'm sure that as we work through the team, there'll be plenty more captains that people want to put forwards. They are the most in-your-face players. They are the ones that deal with the team. For me, Mark Beavers, left-footed as well. He's everything that I wish that George Nevitt was. So for me, it has to be Mark Beavers that goes into this team.
It's interesting. I'll be honest, I'd have put Stephen Taylor in ahead of Mark Beavers, but Stephen Taylor is not my nomination. Neither is Beavers. It is Gabriel Zakuani. He was part of multiple promotion teams. Yes, he was relegated with us, and yes, he gave away a penalty in that Crystal Palace game. But if we're starting Ronnie Edwards, there's a bit of an element of the actual structure of the team here that we're creating. You want a wall next to him. The ball-playing defender part is sorted, and you need somebody who's going to put their body on the line, specifically their constantly injured toe on the line, every single minute of every game, which I believe came up to 200 plus appearances. It might have been even just the 200 on the nose. Someone could fact check me on that. He hit 200, didn't he? I'm getting nods for those not watching on YouTube. Also a superb servant to the club, which this is no discredit to any of the other defenders that we're talking about, but he stayed for longer than many others did. Five plus seasons. That's got to cover something. I'm going with Zach here to partner Ronnie.
Yeah, look, a similar line to my first with the little one, where I kind of said, I like little, but Chiosa was a better player. Ryan Bennett was a better player than Gabby Zakuani. I get Zakuani's a bigger Peterborough United legend. He is. And an out-and-out defender, there's been very few that would run through a brick wall like Zakuani. But if we're talking limitations in the game and where Ryan Bennett went to after Peterborough, there's a reason Bennett played at a higher level than Zakuani ever did. And that is purely down to his footballing ability. Bennett is still, other than Ronnie Edwards, the best passer of a ball I've seen at Posh at centre-back. I thought he was a good defender, maybe not outstanding physically, but a decent defender, solid. And I think if we're going on ability, you've got to have Bennett in over Zakuani.
Sounds like I've got the swing vote. So I do agree, John. Bennett was a great player. But I also think Harry raises a good point. If you're playing Ronnie Edwards, whose main strength is his ball-playing ability, you want a solid centre-back that's going to win everything in the air next to him, don't you? So my vote is for Zakuani. And I actually want to take this opportunity to say that people always downplay how good Zakuani was, because when he first came in that 2008-2009 season, he was so fast and so powerful. And I actually think it was the injuries that stopped him reaching those levels that you talk about, John. I think if he didn't get the injuries he did and he kept that pace, I think he would have gone so far. And people always mention his ball-playing ability as well. And back then, it didn't really matter too much. Yes, if he was playing today, it might have been an issue. And he was, to be fair to him, working on his ball-playing a lot. He was staying late in training and practicing his passing as well. So my choice is Zakuani and Ronnie, the centre-backs.
Yeah, it's another one I can live with. I'm happy with Gabby Zak in the team. At least it's not Mark Beavers, hey, Ash. Left-backs. Left-backs are next. And I'm going to go first on this one. And my nominee is Old Trafford hero, Tommy Rowe. One of the most underappreciated and underrated players I've ever seen at Posh. A guy that could play in multiple different positions, skillful, good defensively, hardworking, a model pro, has had a lengthy career now, has played at higher levels than Posh, just a great team player. Honestly, there's very few weaknesses to Tommy Rowe. I thought he was so well-rounded. I thought he was a good defender. He was very good going forward. And that is why you could put him almost anywhere across the whole team and he could play that position. And I think having a player that's that versatile and that of that level of ability is really, really useful. I think if you spoke to a lot of that team that played with Rowe, they would all say, yeah, really solid player, really good player, really integral part of the team. And although he perhaps didn't get the fanfare he deserved at Posh, I think when you look back at it now, everyone can see he's one of the best left backs that we've had. So I'm going to put Tommy Rowe in the team.
Yeah, you said versatility there, John. And although this man's Posh career ended on a disastrous note with a missed penalty at Hillsborough, somebody that I would also like to chuck into the equation is Dan Butler. Now, this was somebody that played at left back. He came back into the team in that League One season where we got to the playoffs and solidified it, where Burrows were starting to look a little bit ropey. He got injured against Millwall in the Championship, and although he hadn't been fantastic, the replacements were people like Hayden Coulson. So don't tell me that they weren't a downgrade on him. And he was somebody that was happy to slot in at that left centre back when we changed formations, and we were playing the sort of the 3-5-2, weren't we? Or the 3-4-3, depending on which way you want to look at it. There's not many arguments against other players, I think, but somebody just as an option, I think I would like to chuck Dan Butler's name into the ring for this, purely because he is a left back, and everybody else that I've seen suggested today has been players that have just ended up at left back rather than being natural left backs.
I'm not sure where to start with this. I don't want to be too discrediting. I'm just going to make my point through comparison that I would have Craig Alcock, Andrew Hughes, Callum Elder and Colin Daniel ahead of Dan Butler at left back, Ashley. Good grief, man.
The real reason I've included him is because I see him in the co-op near me sometimes and I don't want him to knock me out because he gives me evils every time that I see him.
Lods, please go. Just move us on.
You know what? I actually don't mind Dan Butler. I don't think he should be in this conversation, though. I think there's only one person we should be talking about at left back. I do like the Tommy Rowe shout, but it's got to be Harrison Burrows after his final season with us, surely. The way that Fergie utilised him in this inverted left back role and the way that Harrison Burrows adapted to it, honestly, you can see why he's gone to the top, because there was times where he was playing a back three and there was times where he was playing in midfield and there was times where he was playing on the left wing and he was doing that all from one position. And yes, it helps that he had other players around him like Mason Clark and Archie Collins, but we've not had a left back at Posh with that output ever. So there can only be one person in discussion for left back, in my opinion.
I was so incensed by Ashley, I didn't get round to saying my vote, but I'm with Lods on this one. Everything you said, I agree. I'm on Harrison Burrows' side for this slot.
Our first Peterborough United Academy graduate in the team. That is nice to see. Although the club will claim Ronnie Edwards was. Jury's out on that one, we'll say. Central midfield next up. Who wants to go first this time?
I will, and that is purely because this man could fit anywhere in this team. Unfortunately, he was probably bang average, but the fact that everybody loves him is because he would just get on with it and do a job, whether that was right back, centre back, left back, centre midfield, right of the diamond, left of the diamond. He'd have probably played up front and he'd have probably played up in goal if we needed him to. There's no way that in a DMACC era 11 that somebody like Charlie Lee shouldn't at least deserve a mention, because he was Mr. Utility. Maybe the standard wasn't already there, but we know the old saying, we all dream of a team of Charlie Lees. How can we get away from that and not include somebody like Charlie Lee in this DMACC 11?
I found this position pretty tough to come up with someone other than one person who we're going to speak on in a bit. But two names I would like to throw out there, and I'm not saying they're guaranteed in the team, but they're worth consideration, lads. They are worth a thought. Dean Keats and Paul Coutts. Coutts, I thought, we'll start with just a very technical, gifted player. I thought he was comfortably championship level, really, which proved after he left Posh when he went to Derby. Maybe didn't get enough goals. It's the one flaw in his game, I would say. But just a really good footballer. And I really enjoyed watching him. Thought a great passer of a football, for instance. Good energy. And with Keats, promotion hero, diving header at Hereford. But also just the impact he had on that squad. That we talk about it now in the current squad and we say they lack experience. And I think bringing in Keats was such an impactful signing on the success that we had in what was probably the best time ever to be a Posh fan, I would say. And just a tenacious warrior, not the most physically imposing of players, but he would always battle and always get stuck in. And it was very rare that you'd kind of think that he was physically outmatched despite his size difference. So those two, I definitely think, are worth a consideration for this spot.
It is an interesting one. And if we do have two centre midfielders, there's one that, as John alluded to, probably stands at above the rest. But aside from that, whether it's Coutts or Keats, you've then got other names who were great servants for the club and did quite a lot for us, promotion or otherwise. And some of them are loan players. George Thorne was great. Chris Forrester was good when he was here in multiple spells. And, you know, sorry, as in multiple games, and did really well in the FA Cup game against West Brom as a really highlight performance. I have gone with here Jack Taylor, who I think was so composed on the ball that you often had his game go under the radar. And that's what you want out of a midfielder. We've seen that in flashes with Archie Collins. Often an unsung hero in this side, and was here for what was very nearly a promotion against Sheffield Wednesday. I think as well that it doesn't surprise me that he was pretty decent in the Premier League in the games that he played with Ipswich. I'm sure he'll be a fantastic player in the Championship next year. Just to talk about the quality, which I think most other midfielders probably didn't quite reach his heights in that regard.
I've got an idea, because we've discussed midfielders and I'm pretty sure the name I'm about to say we've all got in, which is Grant McCann. I think we should just have Grant McCann and not discuss any other midfielders, because we're going to have to squeeze in a lot of attackers into this 11. Grant McCann, who, as we're recording today, we've just released our new kit, is the subject of being missed off the legends list on the side of the shirt and shorts. He was our captain. He joined us by rejecting offers from Championship clubs, came to League One, helped us get promoted. He won the Johnson's Paint Trophy with us as captain. He then came back as manager. That's all things he did before even considering how good he was on the pitch. I think he's one of the most complete midfielders we've had in the team. He did like to get it about a bit, didn't he? He was very tough in the tackle, covered a bit of ground, really, really composed on the ball, great at passing. And then to top it all off, his set pieces. I don't think we've had a better set piece taker at Posh. Definitely not in the DMAC era. So McCann's in for me. I don't know what you guys think about only having McCann in midfield and maybe playing like a diamond or something in traditional Peter United fashion.
Yeah, Lodge is throwing a real cat among the pigeons here, because there's a little bit of pre-show before we do these. And we had two midfielders. So you're saying that we're now going to have three, what, more attacking players behind the strikers?
Well, we could have like the wingers pushing a little bit forward. I'm just worried, you know, there's a lot of attacking players that we might need to squeeze into this 11. We might have to play like a 4-1-3-2 or a diamond.
Yeah, look, I am a proponent of attacking football. And as the host, we are playing attacking football. The Peterborough United way. You may remember my rant at Darren Ferguson, where I called him a coward at Charlton away for lining up in a 4-5-1 formation. There will be none of that here. We're going to outscore every team across the Football League. We're going 4-1-3-2 and playing old school Peterborough United football. So with that said, you might have to stick with us here because it might not work quite as well as it does seem in my head on the pitch. But we're going to go to the right wing. And Lods, you're going to get us started, please.
Well, my pick is Lee Tomlin. Incredibly gifted with the ball. You saw how far he went. He went off on to play Premier League football. And that's with, maybe it's unfair to say, but he didn't look after his body the best he could, I don't think, during his time with Posh. You can imagine how good he would have been if he did. We spoke about it with Craig McHale-Smith. His partnership with McLean was so good. Yet Tomlin came in and somehow made McHale-Smith even better than he was playing with McLean. And I think that championship season where we stayed up, the 2011-12 season, Tomlin was just unreal that season. I think he was probably the main reason why we stayed up. And it's a shame that he left the way he did, because I think he probably would have been our biggest sale if he had a few years left on his deal and didn't kick his toys out of the pram to get his big move.
Yeah, you're right. And look, I think I've spent this whole episode just being controversial, haven't I? Just throwing weird names out. I'm going to stay true to form. I'm going to go a little bit closer and more recent times. And somebody that I would say is the reason that we avoided relegation last season. And that is Kwame Poku. Now, on the back of it, you may think, what are you thinking, Ashley? But I've been through the stats and I've looked at the goals that Poku scored and the assists that he provided. And I think that they were worth probably minimum 6 points to us this season. Now, without those 6 points, we finish on, I think it was 45 points, 1 point below Crawley. You think about the moment that Sam Hughes scored the goal against Charlton, I think it was. Nobody else in recent years, let's go 5 or 6 years, because I reckon that somebody like George Boyd could do it, but I'm sure that we'll come on to him. Nobody else picks that pass. Nobody else has that touch of the ball. Watching Pocky, we're talking a player that sometimes had 3-4 men defending and trying to stop him from attacking to nullify the threat that he had. There is Kwame Pocky will go on to fantastic things next season, whether that's in the Championship, in the Premier League, in the Scottish Prem or abroad. But just because it's close to home doesn't mean, and close to recent times, doesn't mean that we can't include some of this as an all-time great for Kwame Poku. He has been here, what, 4 seasons? And he's progressed every single season, hasn't he? So for me, I actually think this one is a no-brainer and that it is Kwame Poku to go in at right wing.
It's actually a really persuasive argument. I'm only going to go with who I've got now here. Because they've already proved it, where Poku hasn't yet in the Championship, and that is Nathan Mendes-Lang, which I think for some people it's going to be quite easy to remember the moments where he blew cold rather than blew hot. But boy, when he was on form, was he good. He was absolutely a Championship quality player throughout the majority of his career. And there's no surprise that he was part of a team that stayed up in the Championship. He was really good at pulling things out of nowhere. And his physical strength was a massive benefit that we've lacked for some wingers since then. And I honestly think he's going to balance out this team as well. We need a bit of versatility now. Now that we've got one midfielder trying to defend our back line, Mendes-Lang can help out in that regard.
Look, if you want versatility, let's just put Ward in, let's just put Sean Batt in, or let's put Chris Welpdale in. Either of those are all better options than Nathaniel Mendes-Lang, absolutely.
Yeah, I didn't hate the Poku shout. I don't know who Nathan Mendes-Lang is. That good a player, Harry, that you can't even get his name right. So he is not in the team. I'm going
to
have to go.
Nathaniel Mendes-Lang.
Yeah, and you called him Nathan Mendes-Lang. You did your best Dell impression.
It's like you being called John rather than Jonathan.
My name is John, Harry. There is no Athan on the end of it.
fine. Ash versus Ashley.
Doesn't work. You got his name wrong. He's not even on the bench. He's not even in the reserves. He's not even in the under-21s, Harry. He's so far away from this team. He's not coming in. Poku might
what
get a place.
Lodz versus Lodzy Wodzy.
No. No. That's enough now, Harry. We've had enough from you. Lee Tomlin is in the team before this disintegrates. Tomlin, what a player. What a player. Could not create an 11 without Tomlin in the team, I don't think. One of the most gifted technical players Posh have ever had, I think. If he had that, I think if you want to know what stopped him getting to the top level, for me, it was just the fact he didn't really have the pace or the physicality. But that turn that he did against Vincent Kompany as well, don't forget about that. It just one hell of a player and has to be in the team. And moving on to the number 10, I'm going to talk about, and I can't let anybody else talk about the man that is right behind me. And that is George Boyd. Here's my selection at number 10, the fulcrum, the creative fulcrum of this team. In my opinion, the greatest Peterborough United player I've ever seen. Just an absolute magician on the ball. Unbelievable left foot. That iconic strike that he had with a low driven shot in front of the London Road end. Just so many moments that Boyd did. So creative. Maybe didn't have quite the pace, but what a career he ended up having as well, and becoming like a workhorse under Sean Dyche. That often gets overlooked, but he came and he was such a skinny player and he became this, and it was all about creativity. And then he went to Burnley and just became this like workhorse Trojan that played at the top level and scored winners against Man City. I just love George Boyd, the ultimate professional. What a hero. I run out of things to say about Boyd. As everyone on this podcast knows, I absolutely love the bloke. My favourite player of all time. Has to be in the team.
Okay. Because of the whole changing formation thing, I think I can get Boyd in elsewhere. So here, I am coming in with Sammy Smodic, who, again, got us promotion. There's only a select few who can say that, and there's an even more select few played at the attacking mid position who could say that. He wasn't utilized at his best consistently while he was here, and he's clearly shown that since going on to also play at a Premier League level, just like George Boyd did. Real line breaker. We didn't really see that here as much, but he's shown it now. Intelligent player, a rabid dog on the pitch, and always put his another one like Zakwani put his soul, heart and soul on the line every game. Really, really respect how he goes about charging down everything he possibly can. And I think there's a shout for Sammy in here.
I was going to put Boyd on the left wing as well, Harry. But since we've changed formation, I'd rather have him at attacking mid. So I'm with John on this one. I remember having George Boyd on the pitch. It just gave you the confidence that we were going to win or at least produce something. Didn't matter if he was ineffective for the first hour of the game. You just knew at some point he was going to come alive and do something. I do think he's up there with one of the best players I've seen in a Posh shirt. Maybe the best player. So, George Boyd for me.
Okay, Boyd's in and I'm a very, very happy man. So we move on to the left wing. Who wants to go first on this one?
I am in again with a controversial take. Now, this is a man that I am confident if his attitude was right, he would have been in the Premier League. I looked at my stats. I did my research. He went back-to-back seasons with 26 goal contributions in the league, 249 games for Posh, which included 62 goals and 92 assists. That is 154 goal contributions over six seasons, I think it was. Now, he does have his downsides. His attitude stunk, but I think back to some of the goals that this guy scored. Marcus Madison on the left wing is just simply sensational. There is no way that on the left wing, if we're not having Boyd on the left wing, then it has to be Marcus Madison. I'm not interested in any other answer. This is a guy that when the ball was at his feet, we could expect something special. Free kicks, dribbling, crossing. You think about he just puts the ball in the right place every single time. People like Harrison Burrows get paraded for that. I think it has to be Marcus Madison for similar reasons.
Actually, I'm glad you went before me because I also have Marcus Madison, and I thought I was going to get accused of trying to cause some sort of controversial allegations that Marcus Madison was our best winger of the DMACC era and maybe get the clickbait allegations that we used to get. I think if you're looking at this from a pure ability perspective, Marcus Madison was one of the most gifted players we've had in the DMACC era. Ashley's mentioned all the numbers that he got, the goals, the assists, the longevity, how many years he was with us for. I think he's another one. If he sorted himself out, if he had the right attitude, he would have gone to the very top. I've never seen a player deliver the ball into the box the way that Madison did. He had such a strange technique, didn't he, with the inside of his boot, and it used to just whip straight into the striker's head every time. Like I said, I'm actually gutted that he ended up going out of football the way he did, and then obviously what he did after football as well, because I would have loved to have seen him playing right at the top in the Championship and above.
Okay, I reflexively, when you just mentioned Marcus Madison, wanted to just talk about the off-field stuff here to say that it should be completely disqualifying that we're even talking about him here. But I think I can actually make the argument even better by talking about his on-field performances. He may well have had incredible at ball at feet ability. There's F2 freestylers who can say the same, but they'll never step on a football pitch because they have no understanding of how to actually play the team game. There is a very good reason why he was here for, remind me, Ashley, was it seven seasons? And they perfectly aligned with a consecutive run of seasons where we did not go up. We were relegated the year before we signed him. So we signed him upon relegation. And then after he left, we were promoted. Have you got something to say, Ashley?
I am not having that. That is down to people like Ricky Miller, Joe Gormley, Ryan Tafazzoli. I can continue. There's just a whole list of players. Marcus Madison was streaks ahead of all of those players.
Good enough players in some of those seasons that Marcus Madison, had he actually known how to progress the football, like Harrison Burrows did. Harrison Burrows' decision-making, I mean, you brought him up. Harrison Burrows' decision-making was light years ahead of Marcus Madison's. Light years. I am going for Ephron Mason Clark here as the left winger to be in the all-time DMACC 11. And boy, did he earn it. What an unbelievable breakthrough season he had, having been signed by Grant McCann, dealing with a manager change, and flourishing to the point where he got a move to a top six championship team, what ended up being a top six championship team. Just had everything when it came to the fast twitch, quick fake outs of defenders, to the bullying of players when he needed to break through them. And also knew where the goal was and knew how to finish. No question for me. I would take Ephron Mason Clark over Marcus Madison every day of the week.
I'm sorry, but this is crazy. You're saying knew where the back of the net is. The guy had 50, I've just looked right now, 50 goal contributions in 102, right? That's one in two. I've already told you that Marcus Madison was like 154 in 249. So that's one in, that's like 0.6. So all of these things that you said, Harry, just
if Mason Clark aimlessly punted the ball into the box 17 times a game, he might have got that up to 70 goal contributions in 102 matches, but it wouldn't have got us promoted.
He wouldn't have done because it wasn't putting it in the right place. He had bloody donkey JCH on the pitch. Marcus Madison was putting the ball on an absolute sixpence for his strikers, which is why he got so many assists.
I will step in before you two come to blows. I actually think it's a really interesting debate here, and it's very difficult to know which side of the fence I fall on, actually. I think if I think of it as an individual player in terms of just pure individual on the ball ability, I think you probably put Marcus Madison in. I think if you look at what they offer the team, though, Mason Clark gets in, because Mason Clark could go back as well as go forward. He tracked back. We did his numbers on the tackles, and I think they were three times as high as Odo's last season, for instance. He was a worker, and I think that's why he just about gets the nod in our team. I think when I look at the system as well, we're so attacking. Can we, with a team with Tomlin, with a team with Boyd, can we have a team where Marcus Madison is afforded the luxury of rolling around on the floor when he gets touched by a defender? Can we have a team where Marcus Madison is afforded the luxury of never defending, which we did for 7 years? And ultimately, there is a reason why Mason Clark got a $4.5 million move to the championship and Marcus Madison was scrapping around to try and get Haaland, Charlton to buy him on a free transfer. And that is because he was too much of an individual. He wasn't a team player. Mason Clark could never, ever have that accusation thrown at him. So it is a tough one, but I think we're going to have to put Mason Clark in our team. Strikers now. We've got two of these to pick from. And to be honest, this is probably the hardest one because Posh have had so many great strikers. Harry, do you want to get us started on the striker chat?
I think we're going to end up between the four of us coming talking about multiple players, right? I'm going to start with one. Johnson Clark-Harris. Double Golden Boot winner. Promotion winner. And also, I think it was 13 goals in the championship, even though we were relegated. He also gets a credit that I think no other player, and circumstances make a difference to this, but no other player who makes this 11 was forced to take a back seat in a season and still did everything he could to make sure the team was at its best. He sat behind Ricky for a year, came on in still over 40 of those games, and was a great influence around the squad consistently, which is why we were more than happy to clap him when he came over in the last game of the season against Rotherham earlier this year. I really do think as well, on pure finishing ability, without having to think about anything else, he's in the top two. And for that reason, I'm nominating Johnson Clark-Harris to get in this all-time 11.
My first choice striker, and actually the first player that went into my all-time 11, was Ivan Toney. And where I just said a minute ago that George Boyd is one of the best players I've seen in the Posh shirt, between Toney and Boyd, they're my top two. I can't choose between them, but I think they're just both just absolute levels above anything else that we've seen. I think he was an all-rounder. He had strength, he had pace. He could score goals from 50 yards. He was great from the penalty spot. He was good in the air. And part of the reason why I wanted Marcus Madison on the wing was because of the relationship they had in that half season or what they played together. They just looked unstoppable. Every time we got the ball to Madison, he swung it in and Toney would get a goal. Comparing Toney to all the strikers we've had, I've never seen a striker be as all-round as that, scoring all different kinds of goals like Toney. And out of all of us, all of the players that we've had, I think he's probably gone on to be the most successful as well.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think I'd have Dwight Gayle over Ivan Toney. I think the spell Gayle had for the, 7 or 8 months that he was in that team is the greatest 8 month spell I've ever witnessed from a Peterborough United player. Pretty much every chance he had felt like it went in the back of the net. He was so clinical. And don't get me wrong, Toney has had an amazing career after Posh. And he was, you could tell that he had a real high level of ability. I'll be honest, I didn't see him going quite as high as he has at Posh, but he clearly stood out as a great player. But going back to Gayle, when he signed for Posh, we were absolutely doomed. I think we'd lost 14 of our first 18 games in the Championship. Gale came in and we maintained top six form till the end of the season. We were relegated on 54 points, something that still remains a record. And Dwight Gale was almost the sole reason that we got out of that slump. And he was one of the key reasons why we performed to that level of ability throughout the season. I genuinely think if we stayed up with Palace, we would have kept him and had a real chance at sustaining ourselves as a Championship club. I think he's the greatest finisher I've ever seen at Peterborough. His movement was amazing. I have to have him in my team if I was making it individually. I really do. And I think he just nudges out Tony for me in terms of what he did in a Posh shirt only.
Okay, let's not decide anything yet. Okay, so Gale and Tony are clearly in the conversation. I'm not sure anyone's bit on my suggestion of JCH. I want to throw another one in. He's on my list. Craig McAlsmith. Hopefully this is of no controversy to anyone that he is included here. Long-time servant at the club, three different spells. We recently interviewed him on Up the Poshcast, which I recommend everyone goes and listens to. Feature length, covering his entire career at Posh and beyond. He, as a team player, unbelievable pressing ability, but also just because of that attitude, scored a bag of goals. You know, 23 in the first league one season, I think it was. Got 27 in the league in the 10-11 season, 35 all competitions that year, and still got 10 goals in an absolutely pants team in the 09-10 year. And if he hadn't done his Achilles, he'd have probably gone on to be Premier League with Brighton. Everything you want in an all-time 11 player, where when you're putting them out, you're hoping they represent my club. Everyone's going to see this as the 11 that epitomises Peterborough United and everything we play for is in him. Craig McAlsmith is my nailed-on striker to make this team.
Yeah, I think Mikhail Smith's definitely one of the options I'd go for. I'm torn, actually. If I'm playing Ivan Tony, I think I'd want one of Gale or Mikhail Smith playing alongside him. You want someone that can get in behind defences. We've had so many good strikers down the years, though, haven't we? We've had McLean needs a mention. I think Britta Sombalonga that season he was with us was unstoppable. Much like Tony, I thought he was a complete striker, another one that whose career probably would have gone a lot further had he not got some serious injuries. Also, Jack Marriott, that season he was with us, scored so many goals. Another one that got some bad injuries and couldn't go any further. But yeah, if it was me, I haven't really decided if I want Mikhail Smith or Gale with Ivan Tony. So this might have to be one that we decide amongst us.
Okay, I can happily make the decision. I will take CMS from me. I want Mikhail Smith in my team. I will give you Ivan Tony instead of Dwight Gale, and we can complete our ultimate team. We would love to hear your ultimate teams in the comments. Please let us know what you think is the best team of the Darrow McAntony era. You can either get in the YouTube comments below if you're watching on there, or tweet us on Up the Poshcast, and someone will cause some debate, I'm sure. Just to recap on our team, we've got Joe Lewis in goal, Mark Little at right back, Zach Ioane and Ronnie Edwards at centre-back, Harrison Burrows at left-back, Grant McCann holding the fort in midfield on his own. Those legs are going to be tired by the end of the season. Lee Tomlin on the right wing, George Boyd playing at number 10, Ephraim Mason-Clark on the left, and then Mikhail Smith and Ivan Tony up front. I think we can all agree that when you read that list of players out, it's not been great recently, but we have seen a hell of a lot of talent come through the ranks at Peterborough over the last almost 20 years now. And I feel pretty privileged to have watched a lot of those players in a Posh shirt. So we hope you enjoyed the episode. We hope that it's brought you back to some happier times. We'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Please get to us in the comments. But that's it from us. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast. On behalf of Ashley, Up the Poshcast, because his mic is frozen and he can't speak.
thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast.
But most importantly, thank you to Darren McAntony for making it all possible.
Mm.
I feel sick.
Yeah, that's gross.